Welcome to the Wellness Creator Podcast, where we delve into the business side of online wellness, sharing stories, strategies, and inspiration from people like you who are building meaningful income streams on the internet. If you're in the business of helping people to live healthier, happier lives, this podcast is for you. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get notified each time we release a new episode.
Online yoga is not saturated. Far from it. There are multiple ways you can earn income as a yoga teacher. And today we are going to go through 10 different money-making ideas that are really quite simple. Jenny, let's just go. What's number one?
Yeah. So the first way to make money when you're, you know, brand new to building your own business instead of working for someone else is to offer one-on-one private lessons. So this is usually going to be done with people who are already students of yours in group classes or people that are in your extended network. It's a really easy ask when people will often come to you and ask you for this anyway. So you can also charge more, obviously, for a private lesson than you can for a group class or a lot of other things in the industry. So that is the first way to start really making money on your own as a yoga entrepreneur.
This is what we recommend to all our newer clients. If someone needs money right now, then just go do some private. It's not scalable, no, but it is the highest amount per hour probably that you will earn.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, sell class passes.
Yes. So this is another way to kind of increase the amount of money you make per transaction. That's how we like to talk about it. So instead of selling one-off group classes where people pay a drop-in fee, we typically recommend that you put them into something that's a little bit more higher price so that you're making sure that you're making enough money off of each student or each client. So the easiest way to do that when you're just getting started is to sell a class pass, right? So this is really common in our industry in the studio model, but it's now also becoming common for individual teachers. So selling a five pack or a 10 pack or a 20 pack, something like that. So you're guaranteed that you have a longer lasting relationship with that student and they're going to be coming to class after class.
Right. And you never sell one single class, right?
Right. Please don't do that.
Right. So
that's a bad business decision. Yeah.
That's a very bad and terrible decision. But just so everybody knows, on Marvelous, you can set up so quickly class passes. Don't make a one class pass, make a 5, a 10, a 15, or whatever numbers you choose, but it's super easy. And then people can just come to your live class and it's just automatically remove that class from their class pass and just counts down.
Yeah. And I just want to say this is also a benefit to your students. So don't feel like you're trying to get away with something or make too much money off of someone. You know, I know from talking to so many of you and working with so many of you over the last decade that you know that the impact on someone's life is going to happen through your classes over time. Like attending one single yoga class or any kind of wellness activity once isn't going to lead to long lasting results for that person. So the goal is to create a transformation and build a practice for that student. And so you want to encourage them to become repeat students of your classes. So this is another way of you serving those clients better than just letting them drop in willy-nilly when they feel like
you're building that habit. Plus, as a student, I don't want to have to buy single classes. Just let me do the transaction once, have 5 classes, not have to think about it. It's a much better experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Agreed. Number three is course. You can create a course from your experience. Yeah. So why would someone create a course?
So this is when, as an entrepreneur, you're wanting to kind of wean off of that trading time for money system that, you know, we use to get started. And this is where you can start to build something that we call scalable. So online courses have exploded over the last few years. They're a really common experience now for students or clients to purchase. And it's just a way for you to take a specific kind of bit of knowledge that leads to a specific result for someone, package it into an online course, and then sell it at scale, right? So you can have this be a cohort experience where you're kind of going through a course with a group of students, or you can have it be a self-study. So cohort experience would be something like a yoga teacher training, right, where there's live components that are usually necessary for that. And then a self-study could be just anything that would be appropriate for someone to do on their own.
Okay. And Yeah, I think we always recommend that if you're running your course for the first time, to do it live. And then once you know you've got it and it works, people are ready to willing to buy it and you don't have to make any changes, then you can do it as a DIY version. Okay, number four is create a membership. And we've done a number of videos on membership. So if you're watching on YouTube, we'll have links above of where you can watch those specific videos on building a membership. But in wellness, it's an incredibly common business model. Again, I think because of the ongoing relationship, because you want to build those habits for people, you want to build community around what you're doing and teaching. And it is a great business model for those who really like to have that recurring revenue. And anyway, we won't go too much in there because we've got a lot of videos on how to do memberships.
Yep, agreed. I would say that this is the preferred model that most people eventually want to move into. It's kind of like the, you know, the golden egg of online business is to have that recurring revenue. So you just don't want to start. Most of you don't want to start with that one.
With small audiences, it's a tougher place to start for sure. Okay. And then on the other end of this spectrum, there is a tip jar. Tell us about that one.
Yes. So the tip jar is kind of a newer popular phenomenon in our industry, and it's really been popularized as platforms like TikTok have taken off and YouTube has taken off because a lot of these platforms enable tip jar features and, you know, LinkedIn bio tools do that as well. So on Marvelous Bio, which is our free LinkedIn bio tool, marvelous.bio, getmarvelous.bio is where you would go and sign up for a free account. You have a tip jar option. And you also, if you're a Marvelous client, have the tip jar that you can choose to enable or disable on your Marvelous site. And I think that there's just this sort of like, it's kind of, I feel like it got started again, like I said, with TikTok and these platforms and Patreon really encouraged this, like this idea that you're kind of performing or you're providing free services in exchange for donations. And I think that this is a really popular model for those of you that have a decent following on any social platform, or, you know, maybe you have a low priced membership or something like that. And then you ask for tips on top of what you charge for your lower priced offerings. It can be a great way to earn some extra money. And I think there's a lot of like psychological studies that have been done on tips, and when you actually ask for a tip or ask for like a donation based, you know, a class payment, the statistics say that you're going to probably actually make more on that class than if you charged a set fee, because you tend in our industry to undercharge. So tip jar, I would always enable it, always like once in a while, give a shout out to your tip jar, and you'll be surprised by how many people will give you generous donations for what you're offering.
And just to be ultra clear, this is a feature on Marvelous, so that if you are, you have your own site on Marvelous, this is something you just toggle on and it will appear. So your clients can just decide to tip you when they feel like it.
Yeah. But make sure you ask, because we get things that we ask for in life. So just toggling it on and not, you know, calling
not telling anyone it's there.
Not telling anyone is probably not going to do much. So if you're, you know, just be sure, like in your communications and your emails, or, you know, when you're teaching a class, like before you sign off, just say, hey, just to let everyone know, I do have tip jar enabled. If any of you feel like leaving any extra gratuity, it would be most appreciated.
Great. Okay. And then number six is YouTube, where we are now.
Yeah. So
how do you make money on YouTube?
There are a million ways to make money on YouTube, and you should not follow us for that information. You're here. If you're watching us on YouTube, there's tremendous resources here that teach you how to make money on YouTube. But the most obvious way is obviously just to build your following up enough that you become part of YouTube's partner program and you get your account monetized and you start to make money off of ad revenue. So if you are using YouTube as a marketing tool, which is what we recommend for a lot of our clients who are comfortable on video, it's a great place to put content out and find new customers, new students, why not also monetize through ad revenue? Like it's just kind of a bonus amount of money. So there's lots of other kinds of partnerships and sponsorships and other brand deals and all kinds of other things that you can do. But the basic way to get monetized is just, you know, to get enough subscribers and watch hours and produce content frequently enough that you're making money off of that ad revenue.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of just like, just adding a little bit more effort into your YouTube. Maybe it's another one or two more videos per month, plus getting really smart with YouTube thumbnails and titles so that they're more clickable, more, you know, people want to click, they want to learn, they're curious. And you can just tip over into that earning for YouTube, and it's not much more, right? Like some of our, and I'm speaking from a lot of our coaching clients that use YouTube as a place to market their business and talk about what they do. And they're just so close to getting monetized. And I think it's worth looking at what it's going to take. And those numbers are changing all the time. So just Google that or look up on YouTube help. Just like a little tiny bit more, and YouTube could be sending you some money for doing what you're already doing. So I think it's a really great opportunity.
Yeah. And some significant money too, for those of you that want to make YouTube like a priority in your business. It's not, doesn't need to be a small amount. So I think that, you know, and we're giving you a lot of ideas, and the upsides of these different ideas vary pretty dramatically. Like you can make a lot of money from an online course. If you build the right course and you build the right audience, you make a lot of money from YouTube. If you put the time and attention into it, like hourly private lessons, right? Your ceiling is pretty low on what you can earn. It's going to be gated by how many hours you can work in a week, right? So just these are all great ways to make money, but this kind of the ceiling or the total amount that's possible to make varies dramatically across these 10 ideas. And YouTube is one that has like kind of an unlimited upside, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. Okay. Number 7, are digital summits and workshops paid. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a really kind of common phenomenon also in the last 5 years in the online space. So this is one of those great networking opportunities where you can collaborate with other teachers or wellness industry leaders. You can put on a summit. It's certainly some work. You can charge people a ticket to come to the summit. And then ideally you're also, in addition to making some money on the summit, you're able to promote your paid offerings on the back end, right? So it's kind of like a 1-2 punch. I would not recommend this one for brand new beginner business owners, but certainly you could participate in someone else's summit where you very often can get paid a fee to do that. And then once you're a few years into your business and you kind of have your grounding established and you've made some good relationships in the industry, this could be a really great lucrative, you know, offering to offer like once a year or something like that.
Yeah. It's also a great list builder. Like when you do something that's typically, these aren't super expensive. They're usually under $100 cost. And if you're providing great value and are able to communicate that clearly, it can be a great list builder as well as a moneymaker.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 8 is sponsorships, either of a podcast or a blog post.
Yeah. So, you know, this is kind of like in the realm of UGC, user generated content. Like brands will often physically send you product and maybe pay you a little bit in exchange for talking about the product in your content online, your free content, whether it's on social media or on a platform like YouTube. There can be, if you have a big following, there can obviously be a lot of money to be made from sponsorships. If you have a smaller following, that amount of money is probably going to be smaller and often will start with just a product exchange. So whether it's a digital or a physical product, you'll get the product free in exchange for talking about it to your audience. I think that my one like warning or caveat for this money-making opportunity is just to make sure you're working with brands and products that you really believe in and align with, because you don't want in the early days of your entrepreneurial journey to like, you know, really make it about transactions alone. Mm-hmm. You want to really be sharing things of value with your audience because you want them to trust you. You're definitely going to probably make more money off of selling your own stuff. So you don't want to like kind of hawk stuff that's garbage or you don't believe in just to make a quick buck, when like the longer term play is to really invest in your audience so that eventually you can sell them your own things.
Yeah. And I would also say, and we've just seen clients, number of clients do this, you can go out and get your own sponsorship, right? So you don't need to wait for someone to find you and go, oh my God, this channel or this blog is amazing, I want to sponsor it. You can be really proactive. And if there is a partner, a company that has a product or a service that is really complementary to what you're doing, approach them, right? Approach them and just see if they will sponsor your podcast, for example. We've seen it done before. And one of our clients actually makes some pretty decent money from that. Actually, it's a newsletter that she gets sponsored, and she has an affiliate with it. And she just went after it. She just asked the question. So don't be afraid to go after it.
Yeah, I think that that's such a great point, Sandy. And I would also just say, like, you don't know where those partnerships, those opportunities will lead you, right? Like, you could get hired by a company that you love part-time. Like, you know, you could build a network with someone that ends up becoming your business partner in the future. So I love partnerships for that reason, because they're sort of like, it's kind of the magic or the mystery of business is when you start to have those relationships that kind of can just take off in unexpected ways.
Yeah. And that leads us into the next one. It's similar, which is number 9, which I think every single person should have, is affiliates. Affiliate money can be quite lucrative. It's super easy to set up. There's many, many ways you can do it. For example, Amazon, you could have products that you use all the time in your, you know, whether that's bolsters or yoga mats or whatever, vitamins, whatever it is, you can have an Amazon store and just, you know, link to it. I think it's so commonplace now that so many people do it. And there's always a little note like, you know, links in these videos, maybe an affiliate, I may earn a small commission based on your purchases. I think it's so normal and so common that nobody cares. And in fact, I will, if I see, let's say, a podcaster who introduced me to a product, that I go purchase, I will go out of my way to make sure I use their affiliate link so that they get the commission. So affiliates are, everyone should have some affiliate links. And what about Marvelous? How would that work?
Yeah. So every customer on our platform has an affiliate link automatically kind of when they sign up. So, and you can also become a Marvelous affiliate. If you are not a Marvelous customer, you can sign up as an affiliate as well. And you get 30% recurring commission for 2 years, which is pretty hefty amount of money.
Yeah, it's
really great. And so, I mean, I would say this is like by many business coaches that we know, like kind of affiliate income is often the first kind of online or entrepreneurial income that they recommend, because it is so easy. And when you're just doing that initial kind of audience building and you maybe don't know what you're going to sell yet, or you don't know how to monetize what you do, affiliate income is a no-brainer, right? Because you're just like honestly, truthfully recommending the things that you love. And making a little money off of those recommendations.
Yeah.
For all of you in our audience, I mean, you come with a wellness expertise, and so you have a little bit more of an idea of what you're going to sell than maybe some, you know, random business entrepreneurs, but you should still do this.
Yeah. And it could be as simple as like, you know, here's my favorite tools, like a blog post or perhaps a podcast episode or YouTube video of like, these are the things I love and I use in my business all the time, or I use in my practice all the time, right? And it could just be a list of things that you use, because inevitably as your audience grows, people will say, oh, what camera do you use? Or what is your favorite mat? Or what is your favorite vitamin D or whatever, right? So just gather those, making a page of links of affiliates. And refer to it often. Okay. The last one, number 10, is digital products, or our digital products. Can you give us some examples?
Ebooks, recipe guides, digital downloads, sequence guides. So workout plans, meal plans. Did I say that one? So anything that's basically a printable or PDF is a great digital product. And those, I think, are also great kind of online business starting points, because it doesn't take you probably a whole bunch of time and energy to make one of these products. Yeah. And usually you sell it for a relatively low price point. So it's a low ask of your audience and your students. And so it's a great way to get started kind of making scalable money online.
Right. And think about what people ask you all the time, like, what do you, or how do you, like, those are the common questions, the FAQs you get as a teacher or as a coach. Those might lead you to a really great guidebook or the ultimate guide or something that you can put together and sell that, as Jenny said, as a very low cost. Also, again, a great list builder, because people will obviously be on your list once they purchase. So,
yeah. You know, and another thing I'll just add, like the modern version of a digital product that we should just like call out is just like selling people basically a link to a Notion site. Sandy and I are not the world's biggest Notion fans ourselves, but I like a lot of the digital products that I've purchased in the last 6 months have actually just been Like you buy it and you get a PDF with a link to a Notion site. And so you don't even have to go through the work of designing a PDF and like making it look pretty at this point. Yeah. People, you can just like throw it into Notion in 5 minutes and people will pay for that just the same, right? Because they're paying for the information. And so how you deliver that information matters, I think, not so much. So yeah, you don't have to be a designer or know how to use, you know, like Adobe Illustrator or something to make something really nice.
Yeah. Or a lot of our clients just use Canva templates. Yeah. That is pretty easy. But yeah, I agree. It doesn't have to even be that complicated. So
yeah,
amazing. So those are the 10 ways that as a yoga teacher, you can make money. And if you're ready to get started, but you're not sure what you actually need to get started, we have a whole video helping you out and it'll be right here.
This podcast is brought to you by Marvelous. Marvelous helps you build and sell your own courses, coaching programs, memberships, and digital products. Go from idea to open for business in just minutes. If you're looking for a simple, beautiful, custom branded platform to build and grow your online business, you can learn more at heymarvelous.com.